blackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Message your next to kin. Tell him it's about to get extra messy, especially when I flex again. Stomp being in wet cement. Giddy raggedy Ann and Andy. No, raggedy Andy and Andy. No, it can't be, it can't be. Yes, it can't be. The Andy Christ's back.
Yeah, this is it. I think this is the last time he's going to do double platinum, triple platinum status. Did a great run. 10 years. Man, I got to applaud. 10 years of the same formula. Never made the transition to rock star or rock music like the Beastie Boys did. I give them respect for that. Where does Eminem rank for you?
Doc, I ain't understand a damn what he said. I planned to relapse the second I walked out of that 2 weeks in Brighton. I ain't enlightened, biting into a biking and like I'm a biking. Oh, lightning is striking, might be a sign. I need a psychic evaluation. Jason, it's Friday the 19th. That means it's just a regular day. And this is the kind of I think of regular lay.
Being shouldn't have. Oh, well. The album I liked the most was the one, what was it, 99? 2000? This one. The Marshall Mathers LP. I gotta salute Eminem. 10 years, it's worked. I can't front. Nobody had a 10-year run like this in terms of sales, obviously.
Y'all act like you never seen a white person before. Jaws all on the floor like Pan, like Tommy just burst in the door. We started whooping her ass worse than before. They first were divorced, sewing her over furniture. It's the return of the... Oh, wait, no, wait, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? And Dr. Dre said, nothing, you idiots. Dr. Dre's dead, he's locked in my basement. Feminist women love Eminem. Chicka, 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 Slim Shady, I'm sick of him. Look at him, walking around, grabbing his you-know-what, flipping the you-know-who. Yeah, but he's so cute, though. Yeah, I probably got a couple of screws up in my head loose, but no worse than what's going on in your parents' bedroom. Sometimes you wanna get on TV and just let loose, but can't. But it's cool for Tom Green to hump a dead moon. My mom is on your lips, my mom is on your lips. And if I'm lucky, you might just give it a little kiss. And that's the message that we deliver to little kids, and expect them not to know what a woman is.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
It'll probably be the last time I play some Eminem, so let me go out in style.
Records. Well, I do, so f*** him and f*** you too. You think I give a damn about a Grammy? Half of you critics can't even stomach you, let alone stand me. But Slim, what if you win? Wouldn't it be weird? Why? You guys can just lie to get me here so you can sit me here next to Britney Spears? Christina Aguilera better switch me chairs so I can sit next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst and hear him argue over who she gave to first. Little put me on blast on MTV. Yeah, he's cute, but I think he's married to Kim. I should download her audio on MP3 and show the whole world how you gave him an M. You little girl and boy groups, all you do is annoy me. So I have been sitting here to destroy you. And there's a million of us just like me, who cuss like me, who just don't give a f*** like me, who dress like me, walk, talk, and act like me. And just might be the next best thing, but not quite me. I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up, please stand up, please stand up. Cause I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up.
Yeah, this is the last time I will be playing Eminem music on my show. Somebody has called me. Hello, sir, are you there?
Thank you, though.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody, Davey D, the one and only. Davey D, I'm playing my last Eminem song ever in the history of my show. This is it.
Your last Eminem song, huh?
We did that. We did a review of Relapse. But everybody,
okay.
I mean, I will do a fake introduction. You all know how much I love and admire Davey D, DaveyD.com, hip hop historian, opinion leader, activist, analyst, you name it, host of Breakdown Radio, Hard Knock Radio. Good to have you on,
Breakdown,
brother. Breakdown FM.
Good. Breakdown FM.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, right away. Give me all the website addresses, please, Davey.
It's DaveyD.com. It's Breakdown FM. And now Hard Knock Radio.
Okay, beautiful.
Those are the three main ones, yes.
Well, look, man, you honor me. You know, we've been doing this, I guess, as long as Eminem's been popular together. And I think it's over, though. I think it's over for him. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll get to the state of the music industry in a minute. But tell me a bit about what you've been working on of late. We're going to get into H.R. 848, this controversial bill flowing on radio. But you're in town. You're actually in D.C. What's going on?
Well, we just, the final day of the campaign for America's Future is over. So we got a chance to see how the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is going about doing things. It's okay. I mean, I think some of the best interviews I had were with Representative Keith Ellison out of Minneapolis. He was pretty strong. He talked about what's going on in the Muslim world, both domestically and internationally. Donna Edwards was real strong today. Yesterday we had a good conversation with her. She got back from the Middle East. We had a number of conversations that focused on the killing of George Tiller. And we had to remind people that terrorism is not usually people with Muslim backgrounds, but it's usually these white males that, you know, that people like to say are good old boys and have apple pie for dinner or dessert, that are running around shooting people and blowing up clinics and all that. And so it's important to contrast the type of treatment that is coming in the aftermath of that killing and the type of profiling or lack of profiling that is taking place compared to when people of color or people of Muslims, you know, when they were suspected of doing something, how the public reacted, how punditry reacted, and how society in general put demands on folks to, you know, to round folks up so they could be secure. I don't see white males being rounded up right now in the aftermath of that abortion doctor killing.
Not at all. I haven't noticed it either. What's going on in the Bay Area these days?
The Bay Area, we're dealing with Oscar Grant's situation, which is, you know, for a lot of people, they've been on the ground. There's a very strong network of people that are all kind of united, from those who who want to take very aggressive actions to those who just want to, you know, not that I wouldn't say just want to, but those who want to take a different type of approach, maybe a legislative approach. There's been caravans going up to Sacramento, putting demands on legislature and the governor to really do some things. And right now, we've been going through the preliminary hearings to determine whether or not this police officer should actually go on trial, if you can believe that. You would think that there's enough evidence based upon the fact that this shooting was captured on dozens of cameras, but we're going through a two-week or onto its third-week trial to determine what sort of charges would be levied on him and determine and trying to figure out whether or not he should actually go on trial at all.
Well, Davey, I want to commend you personally. You know, I've said this to you off air, and I said it without you being present, but, you know, you have really stepped it up. I mean, a lot of people have fallen off. There's some activists I haven't heard from for the entire 2009. It just looks to me you're getting stronger, bolder, and just really even more smooth with it, brother, just the technology and everything. So
well,
congratulations.
I appreciate the compliment. No. I appreciate the compliment. Just, I mean, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, you look in the mirror and realize that people are looking at you and you're not looking at them per se, if that makes sense. People are kind of going, well, what's next? Because you're older, you've been around a little bit longer, and with that comes a certain set of responsibilities. So I think, and this is based upon conversations we had before in the past about trying to institutionalize some of the things that we do, ownership, and definitely being bold about it, because if you're not bold, who will be, you know?
That's right.
A lot of the people who came before us, you know, our elders are older, and not necessarily containing the same type of spirit that they may have had before, or even the capabilities anymore. So it's really on us to kind of step it up and put the hammer down the way that people before us did. And that's all I'm trying to do, just do my part.
Well, very, very well said. Let's use that as a segue into HR 848. What can you tell us from just a starter 101 perspective, just for beginners, what is this bill about, and what is your analysis of it, and then how has the debate been flowing since then?
Well, H.R. 48 is a bill that was introduced by Congressman John Conyers. Not only was it introduced, but he stated that this was his priority. In theory, what he wanted to do was make sure that artists who he feels are being exploited and have been exploited historically would get paid. And the way that he intended to, go and charge radio stations a fee for the songs that they play. The justification for it was that in other countries, this is what they do, and the United States needs to be brought up to speed. That's what he stated in this particular bill.
Davey, you messed it up. Barack Obama was sitting there with a lot of noise in the background with Brian Williams. You should have said you was in the limo, bro.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was with Brian Williams and Barack Obama, but no, what we were talking about was he feels that radio stations should pay a certain amount of money for the music that they play, and that's caused a lot of concern on a number of levels. The first level in which it's caused concern is the fact that radio stations never did this before in the past, and what has been sensed is that there's a symbiotic relationship, meaning that I play your radio, I play your records, you play, and I don't control your business, meaning that if you happen to get a concert because a promoter is listening to the radio, does that mean that we get a piece of the business that you were able to generate off of the fact that we played your record on the air? At the same time, if we happen to get ratings and extra commercials and what have you, should those artists be entitled to that because we played records? And I just think that it's unfair. It's like, you have a business plan, I have a business plan, I'm not required to play your record, you're not required to make a song that fits the radio format, and we just happen to have tools that each of us can use. Now, that's how it's worked in the past, and I think for all of us, that's how it should be. But with Kanye's situation, he felt like the artists weren't being paid, and he was going to go after radio for it. Now, the way it became complicated is this. The first part is that what Conyers is not talking about is the fact that there's this thing called payola, and that most record labels, or at least on the major side, when they want records played on radio stations, they will come up and offer anywhere from $300 to $1.2 million to make sure that records are aired, maybe 100 spins a week, which means every hour and a half you will hear a record. And that $1.2 million may come in the forms of cash money, or it may show up with artists showing up to do free concerts. It may show up with artists coming to your nightclub to do special appearances. It may show up with the label sponsoring your van, putting the logo of their artist on the van. As the record labels described it, it's called market penetration. So take Eminem, for example, who you're not going to play anymore. Eminem comes out, and he's on everybody's radio station. And the street teams for those radio stations are giving out Eminem CDs, and you're having an Eminem weekend where there's a giveaway of not only a CD, but maybe a trip to the Grammys. All that is paid for by Eminem's record label. And in exchange for that, those radio stations will play Eminem a certain amount of time, which in theory would familiarize the audience with his product. And when they go to the store, they're thinking of the Relapse album, and they'll purchase that before they purchase an album by somebody who's not as known. So Conyers is not talking about that. The second thing Conyers has been talking about is the fact that in a decent record label contract in 2009, the record label collecting 90% while the artist collecting 10% is considered a good deal. I mean, 90% and you did is what the labels are taking, and everything is recoupable, meaning that the artist pays back the record label for all expenses that were put out before him. So it's conceivable that you would have an artist ranging from Nas on down to some of the people he's been trotting out, like the Dionne Warwicks of the world, who are saying, I sold millions of records and never got paid. Well, it's because of the funny bookkeeping of these record labels and the lopsided contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that somebody who heads the Judiciary Committee, who has a law degree, who knows what's going on, would have sat down and found in his wisdom some labor laws or something to say this is exploitation at its worst and we need to change that dynamic. He hasn't done that. So we can go all the way down the list of things that I feel is wrong with that. I'll talk about another aspect. The artist that he's trotted out, he's had a few artists that's like, we haven't got paid. Well, okay, since you haven't got paid, Dionne Warwick or whoever else you want to show, John Legend and whoever, let's talk about, why don't you come before a Senate or a congressional committee and talk about how much money it costs for your record to get on the air. Talk about the payola that was paid on your behalf.
Oh, speak
let's
on.
Name names. You know, let's put people on blast. Let's say this radio station charged us this amount of money to put our record on, you know, the air. And let's have licenses revoked and people going to jail. All these artists are remaining silent. So that's on the surface the big problem. And, you know, I'll let you digest that for a second. Then we can go behind the scenes and tell you what the specifics of the bill is about. And, you know, I just want to make sure that it's not confusing as to what I'm saying.
No, it's on point. DavyD.com, legend, friend, historian, opinion leader, activist, analyst on the line. Davey, in essence, I think you're adding so much intellectual firepower in addition to a basic point that I just want to establish with you, which is this is a fight being cased in very lofty terms, noble terms, sounds like egalitarian principles and a good cause for people to support. And that seems to be what makes it confusing. People feel like they have to choose between black radio, broke artists that are icons and favorites of theirs, struggling small businesses. Where is the real truth in what this is really about? Is this a bunch of elites fighting it out in the name of people that deserve some real help? Or is this people who need some real help who pick the wrong people to fight for them?
I think it's both. It wasn't these artists that went to John Conyers and said, we need help. Because if it was the artists, they would have given the information that I just given, and we would have had a different set of hearings. We would have seen Kathy Hughes and Lowry Mays and Jeff Samoan, the owners of these other radio stations up on in front of Congress, talking about, well, why did you charge Dionne Warwick X amount of dollars to play your record on the air? You didn't have that. Instead, what you had was the representatives of the record label, the RIAA, who will conveniently say that they're doing things on behalf of the artist when, in fact, they're a trade organization that represents the interests of major record labels. Those major record labels have a history of ripping off artists. All you have to do is look at the lawsuits, read the books, you know, talk to the old-timers. You know, there's always been this issue with the labels. So to now suddenly have the record labels be the ones that are championing things for the artists is a little bit disingenuous. Now, going back to black radio, this is where it gets a little tricky, and I hope people can understand this. The radio industry is represented by the National Association of Broadcasters called NAB. And if you look at this just on the surface of what I explained, that if a radio station is getting anywhere from $300 to $1.2 million to play a record, you mean to tell me that they're going to write a check for that amount plus some back to the record labels? You honestly think that's going to happen? No, it isn't. The people that those radio stations that are collecting those types of money are not sweating it. The only person that you hear yelling fire is Kathy Hughes and Black Radio. You don't hear the Clear Channels. You don't hear the MSNBC, the Emmises, or all that. They're kind of silent. Well, here's why. The way that the bill is written, if you earn a certain amount of money over, I think, $1.2 million, then you negotiate with the record label and the artist as to what fee you're going to pay them. That's where payola now starts to get legal, and this is where it gets murky. So let's just use, for example, Clear Channel with 1,200 stations can go to a record label and say, look, we got 1,200 stations. We own about, concert venues in every city. We own some billboards, this, that, and the third. If you want your artist to be played, this is the type of deal that we're going to work out. And they will work it out, and I suspect that a station company with that much resources would say, by the way, our competition, make sure they don't get just as good a deal. Now you get somebody like Kathy Hughes and Black Radio. They don't own concert venues. They don't have those type of resources. That means that they're going to wind up paying these fees that could theoretically put them out of business if they're anywhere like the fees that you have to pay for internet radio, which is smaller. So that's where the problem comes in. So, yeah, Kathy Hughes is definitely running around yelling, protect our interests, because she's about to be ass out if this bill goes through. The Clear Channels and some of those bigger stations, they'll be all right because they've always negotiated these type of deals with these labels, and it will be business as usual. If I look at the type of business that some of these independent record promoters who put records on these radio stations are doing, they haven't scaled back anything. They haven't said a word. They haven't been crying about anything. In fact, one of them just had a big convention with all the bells and whistles where he wasn't scaling back, like the recession did not exist for him. So I think what's going to happen, the good old boys are really going to tighten up the loose, and all the independents are going to be ass out. And I would also predict that if this goes through, some of those big stations will probably wind up controlling or at least programming Kathy stations or Radio 1 and some of these black radio stations so they could avoid having to pay those high fees.
Absolutely.
That's how I see it right now.
I think that's beautifully put. And I think...
And one other thing,
yeah.
one other point to this, because people are like, well, what about the artists? Well, there's a distinction between artists and label owners. When you play 50 Cent, you're not playing 50 Cent the artist. You're playing 50 Cent the record label owner who happens to rap. That means, so he owns a record label. He's a record label. So that's a little bit different than saying you're playing 112, who is signed to Puffy, who himself is a record label owner who happens to rap. You feel what I'm saying? So an artist in the traditional sense, meaning that he does not own any part of the record label, what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to be splitting the money that we pay 50% to the record label, 45% to the artist. Well, most of these artists have deals that say any income stream that they make gets taxed by the label anyway. So, in other words, the label will double dip. They'll go 50% for me, you get your 45%. Oh, wait a second, we get a percentage of your income, so we're going to take an additional set. If you're an artist who happens to rap and own a label, then, you could figure out the math there. So, really, the artists that you really think need to get paid ain't going to be getting paid. And all the people who are making money will continue to make money, and it's just a big scam as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I love how you said that. All the people who have been making money will continue to make money. And you touch on so many points. One of them is that the distinction between a distributor, a producer, and a consumer, and these intermediaries, these marketing companies, it's so murky that there's no way that this will probably do anything but actually help what's been going on already, because it allows another bookkeeping.
It legalizes
exactly.
Payola, because what it is now I can go and I can say to you comfortably, listen, Congress, listen, law enforcement officials, I went to this radio station owned by Cedric, your radio station, C-Channel.
Oh, they got Davey right when he was promoting me. Hold on. Standing ovation to the telephone company. Davey, we can't hear you right now. Right when you were promoting me, brother. I think we lost Davey, folks. He'll call back, hopefully. Now, listen. Those of you who have, expressed an interest in this issue, I'm really only doing this for you. To me, Davey is probably the most knowledgeable person on all of the angles of this debate. And I'd like for you all to have the benefit of his experience on both sides. He's not a whacktivist. He's an entrepreneur. He's done business, independent radio, mainstream corporate radio, alternative radio. And he knows what he's talking about. So I wanted you to have that because the HR 848 debate's heating up. If you go to CedricMuhammad.com, by the way, also, you will see a nice amount of comments. Very thoughtful on both sides of it. I think this is Davey. Hold on. Okay, folks, Davey is back with us. Davey, I was saying, right when you were promoting me, brother, they cut you off. Please repeat the commercial. But give the scenario you were giving about how this legalizes payola again.
Well, basically what I was saying is that this legalizes payola. So if I go to you, you know, the person who owns the coffee channel, and I say, you can now officially tell people that if Davey D's an artist and he comes to you, a black coffee table, coffee channel, and you can say, we worked out a deal that I will play Davey's record X amount of times, and the conditions of these deals may be as follows. He's going to do a couple of shows for us. I'm going to spin him every week, twice a week, you know, five times a day or whatever, and it will be all legal, and it won't be anything that anybody can say. That's going to leave any independent artist who can't afford the resources or the money that's being demanded to keep up. And it's just going to be a wrap, especially when you consider that radio stations are not going to want to start signing individual deals and working out individual contracts and all that. They're just going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to play songs from record labels that have a large catalog and just call it a day. That's how that's going to work. Yeah, and keep in mind, let me explain again so people can understand why this will happen. Again, if you make more than $1.2 million, that's most radio stations in any major city, they have to negotiate a deal with the label and the artist. I'm not trying to negotiate a deal with Pookie and then Ray Ray and then Nene and then the other five people that they want to have in the crew. I don't want to get caught up in their own nonsense because Ray Ray had an argument with Nene and then he's coming in negotiating the deal but the rest of the group don't want to negotiate. I don't want that. I just want to go to an established business. So I'll just go to Def Jam and I'll leave all the independent stuff for somebody else to deal with and the headaches that come along with it. That's why that's not going to work. So all these people that's like, oh, I'm going to get paid and I'm an independent artist. Well, what happens if you and your group have a problem? Who's in charge? Who's collecting the money?
Exactly.
We paid one, the other one wants to get in there. And this happens all the time. It happens with major record labels. So that's why they're just going to go to the record label and call it a day, and independent people who are thinking that they're going to get paid are going to be out. And then finally, they'll be like, well, what about the small stations? Small stations like yours or maybe the Pacifica ones that I'm on, we pay a blanket fee, maybe anywhere from $500 to $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know for me, I played maybe 470-some-odd different artists last year, right? If I'm paying $1,000, which is what would be required, how are you splitting that $1,000 between a record label and 475 different artists? Are we going to write a check for, what, a quarter apiece?
Well, I mean, and that's the real secret is they really don't have a direct relationship with all these artists they claim to represent anyway.
And then I talked to Kanye's office. I said, well, where's that money going to go? He says it's going to go to the RIAA. But I said, most of the artists that I'm playing aren't members of the RIAA. They're not represented by them. So why would I be giving them money? He said, well, you know, that's what we just have right now. And I said, okay, y'all are just shady, and I just called it a day, man. That's what it is.
Now, listen, Davey, you, when they cut you off when you were promoting me, I was praising you. As being an activist, an entrepreneur, an analyst, journalist, historian. This is an episode in what I call whackness or whacktivism. Let me give you an example. Because to me, it is an opportunity for entrepreneurs that are progressive, the independent artists, to really get their act together and offer viable alternatives that have business that can support them. I think that's it. Now, let me give you an example of what's going on in Harlem. The anti-hunger activist that I love, the homeless shelter folks, everyone is upset because certain major wholesalers and retailers and grocery stores do not accept food stamps. Okay,
right.
So there's a lack of stores in the area anyway that could provide, you know, quality food, etc. So what do the anti-hunger activists do? They go and protest Costco and force Costco to accept electronic payments for food stamps when Costco, BJ's, and all of them are already doing that because of so much money that President Obama is giving. It's now a huge part of their business model to get money from these folks. It's in the budget, the $3.5 trillion budget that Obama put in. Why wouldn't these activists, this is what I'm saying hypothetically, use this as an opportunity to get entrepreneurs started and businesses in the area that would accept food stamps rather than begging Costco to take millions and tens of millions? You follow what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of times it's because those people aren't involved with the businesses that they're supposed to be.
Exactly. There you go. And they're getting paid grant money to do what they're doing now.
Grant money and foundation money.
Exactly.
So they haven't owned their own business. People are asking me, why are you so passionate about this? And I'm like, because I was trying to buy a radio station. That's why.
You had a self-enlightened interest.
Well, it's not only that, but, you know, it's like you have to put investors together.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to ask these questions, and when you do the math and you do the numbers,
it doesn't add up.
Nah,
it adds up to a loss.
It adds up to a loss, and people aren't going to do that. So that's why, you know, but the fact is that you had to go through a certain type of procedure to do that. You have to do the research. You have to find out who would actually be interested. They have to do a procedure check. You know, they have to figure out, can they get a return? All these different types of things, which gives you, I think, a little bit more healthy understanding of what's going on.
Exactly.
I also know because, you know, some of the people that I know that have been forced out of radio or felt like it had really become too consolidated and too whatever, they themselves were buying stations, and that's all off the table for them as well. And these are people that I feel were music folks. These were people that did not like to have the centralization of playlists. These were people that didn't want to have all this type of situation where things were being dictated to them. They are no longer in the game. They have effectively been removed from the industry.
So give me in closing, Davey, give me the in closing on this subject, because I want to still talk to you about Obama. But in closing on this subject, give me the blueprint. What should the activists, the entrepreneurs, the former professionals who've been laid off by record labels and radio stations who want to do something for themselves, what should the game plan be?
Well, I would say it's ownership, but at this point, I think the best thing they need to do is they need to look at every single law that's coming up that will impact their ability to communicate to the masses. And so even though I have my criticisms of black radio and radio in general, and, you know, I have lots and lots of criticisms about that, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to have the entire freeway destroyed because, you know, some of these radio stations haven't done right by us. And that's essentially what has happened. If you got to pay for stuff that I don't think there's a value for, or there's no, or it's not reasonable, then it's not worth it in the end. So right now, I think the best thing activists need to do is understand that once upon a time, when people in this country were brought over to this land or colonized or exploited, one of the first things that was taken away from them was their ability to communicate freely and uninhibited to their people and to their community. And that has never stopped. It's continued on to this day. And I think right now we go into a digital world, and even with this terrestrial radio situation where you have Clear Channel saying, I'm going to get rid of 400 stations, which opens it up for entrepreneurs, you're like, oh, let me go buy a radio station now. Well, okay, you buy the radio station, but can you afford to pay the licensing fees that they now are putting into place? To me, that's the problem, and I think we need to pay close attention to mass communication.
Beautiful. Now let's move on to Obama, brother. Now, I just got a message, an announcement. You may have heard about it too, probably received it. Cynthia McKinney is forming a new organization to bring the black left, their voice stronger, and to try to bring about change. And I applaud it from an organizational standpoint. I voted for Barack Obama, but I'm liberated because I voted for him for no reason other than cultural. I didn't vote for him for any policy reasons. I still understand that there's things he's never going to be able to do. What I wanted to ask you is, since you're in town,
we're going to go see Cynthia McKinney right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we'll tell her that, give her our love. I'm going to talk to her later, but please give her our love and support. Because what I like about Cynthia is she's not whining about Obama. She's not someone on the left who's whining. He never campaigned on a progressive agenda. There were things that, you know, he never campaigned to go to the racism conference in Durban. He never campaigned to end black male unemployment. He never campaigned to push reparations. You know, I don't understand what people kind of expected him to do. Give me your take within the progressive left community as to the assessment of President Obama.
Well, I think I can't speak for everybody, but I think for me and people that I'm with, the situation with Obama is that many of us gave him a shot to get into the White House. You know, we understood that there were politics and outside forces that were going to look at him from a racial lens. And so we remained silent on some things. Whether that was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do is up for debate. But now that he's in the White House, he sits in the chair of the presidency. And as president, any interest that I have, I need to fight and agitate and do for. So for me, when the Supreme Court justice was up for grabs, it's like I want somebody who's the exact opposite of Clarence Thomas, and I'm not going to be quiet about it. When he said he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, that's why we voted for him. When he says he's not, I'm going to yell about it. And I think, in other words, the game is right now you start to push and you agitate at all those different pressure points. You talk to your Congress, you talk to your Senate. You make your voices heard with Obama's office, and at the same time, if you feel that he's really out of whack, you use this opportunity to build a power base that you feel can challenge that. So that's where that's at right now. I mean, he doesn't get a pass, and he shouldn't get a pass, but I mean, that's just it. You know, he's the president, and if it was McCain up there, we would be doing it, and if it isn't, if it's him, it's still the same scenario. I mean, some things I'll agree with. A lot of things I'm like, well, thank God he's there versus somebody else. And there are other things that I'm like, oh, hell no. I think the mistake that some people have made is that they're still like, well, you know, he's still in office and I'm going to keep quiet and, you know, and or they have these unrealistic expectations like he's there and he's going to stop the next police shooting. Or he's there and he's going to stop, you know, grocery prices from rising. You know, no, he's not. He's there to be a catalyst for the type of change that we say we want. So if police shootings are happening in Oakland, then we got to be inspired enough right now to do a few things, including getting rid of the district attorney and run our own. You know, getting rid of the police chief and replace him. Getting rid of an unresponsive mayor and replacing him. All those things are up for grab in the next election. That's what we need to be doing if we feel that there's a political solution. And I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you got to get into the game and you got to get into it fully. And I think when you just vote for the president and look only to the president, that's like playing a game of cards and not having a full deck. You know, it's like playing a game of chess and not using all your pieces. The pawns, the rooks, the knights, the bishops, all of them are good, and we should be utilizing all of them, not just playing with your queen. And to use the chess analogy, Obama is the queen piece on this chessboard, but it's not the only piece, and we need to use some of these other ones more effectively.
Teach, Davey. I could not have said that. Have not even heard it put any better, brother. I want to thank you. Please promote everything and anything and everything, please.
Well, I appreciate that. Right now, we're going to actually, I'm with my boy Troy from National Hip Hop Political Convention. We're about to roll up here and go see Cynthia McKinney and Dennis Kucinich as we speak, you know. And you know, like, if I look at, we'll say Troy, because Troy is one that wasn't voting for Obama anyway. His job is, as he said, is to, you know, to build a power base so that maybe in 212 or whatever, Cynthia can run more effectively.
Exactly.
That's what he's supposed to do,
exactly.
And take advantage of this, you know, this time to do that. You know, maybe the sledgehammer is not as hard as it was when it was with Bush in office. But his job is to do what he's doing now. Go keep building and building and building. My job is to, you know, go and call the Congress while I'm here in Washington, not be at Ben's Chili Bowl only, and go, hey, I got some opinions and information and I want to get some insight. And that's why we're about to go in Rayburn Hall and make our voices heard. And we're going to play the game. You know, right now we're using the bishop and we're using the rook piece. And that's what we're doing. So DavyD.com is the website, and Breakdown FM is the station. Hard Knock Radio is the radio show. And I appreciate the time, Cedric.
I love you, brother. Listen, travel safely. Give Troy's with you?
Yes, he is. You want to holler?
Yeah, let me put him on real quick, man.
Yeah.
Troy.
Hold on a second. He was just about to go.
Okay.
Hey, what's happening,
Troy? I just want to say peace to you, brother. I look forward to linking up, man. You be safe. And both of y'all, listen, there's no Secret Service protection for real men like you all, so be careful.
Right. Thanks for the opportunity, man, and keep doing what you're doing, man. We need it.
Oh, thank you. Hey, listen, we got each other's back, you know, whether we act like it or not all the time. This is unspoken.
For sure.
Unspoken.
For sure.
Hey, take care, man.
All right, brother. Peace to your audience.
It's Troy, y'all. National Hip Hop Political Convention.
All right. Hey, you want to talk?
Listen, everybody wants to jump on. But DavyD.com will run this audio back on the archives. Study it. Study what he said on HR 848 and the whole nine. They're about to go see Cynthia McKinney. And that's something. So I like how Davey put it with the pieces of the chess board. Obama is the queen. We have rooks, knights, bishops, pawns. I likes that a lot. Now listen, the archives will be up as usual, but any thoughts you all have on HR 848, you can express them at CedricMuhammad.com on that thread. You may want to indicate that you heard what you heard on this show and weave it in. Some of you have already posted comments. Some are for the bill, some are against it. I think people have made very reasoned arguments. I'm very happy about the kind of dialogue it's attracted. Nothing nasty. Everybody's in stating their piece. And if you read it, you're informed. All right. CedricMuhammad.com. Ending whackness in the name of blackness. HR 848 is what I wrote. Okay. I use that as an opportunity to promote my show. Because content-wise, this is where talk radio, not just black, but alternative, progressive, and mainstream is going to have to go. Time will tell, though. This is Massive Attack. Y'all ain't up on that. June 3rd, 2009, the great Davey D just joined us. We're headed into our... number what, four? I always get mixed up. I want to talk about Kobe. Notice I have not started the Church of KRS again. I have learned my lesson, although I do expect the Lakers to win. I'll explain why next hour. Oprah. I've been watching Oprah. I have to come clean. I want to get your take on a certain issue. I'm a member of the Church of Oprahanity. The page on Facebook, the fan page, please join it. I'll be sending updates through that from time to time, posting notes. My personal page on Facebook is cool. You know, it's not going to be much there, but status updates. Join that fan page for the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program show. Just search Cedric Muhammad, okay? Unfinished Sympathy, Massive Attack. It's a pleasure to come before you all every week and do what we do, diverse topics, chop it up. If you want to advertise on this show, you can do so by filling out the contact us information. I will be contacting folks, those that are serious, personally. I appreciate your interest. And one of the things that has to be done is that any platform that's built that does a work or provides a service has to be self-sustaining. These days of charity are over. Government grants ending. You're going to have to step the game up. And that's why I may have been a little harsh in the eyes of many, but I'm sorry. The anti-hunger activists, your heart may be in the right place, but for you to literally take millions and millions of dollars out of those pockets of the poor, the low income that have food stamps, and then beg Costco to accept it, rather than empower those same individuals who have the skills, who work for grocery stores, convenience stores, retail outlets, and force them to go and build a business, encourage them to build a business and take some of that seed money that's floating around in these ethnic neighborhoods, do what previous immigrant groups have done through group economics. I have to take you to task. Some of us are living off of grant money. That's why I'm a little hesitant about getting down with causes on the left and the progressives, or really any team, because I see somebody cutting a check that's not going to be about entrepreneurship and self-enlightened interest. This matter with Black Talk Radio could be solved through activism and the pursuit of a self-enlightened interest through entrepreneurship and business. It could be solved through the internet, what we're doing, through effective lobbying, campaign contributions, using the media more effectively, bodies in protest. But to keep begging Conyers or the FCC, I mean, sometimes I wonder, we really believe that this is a war? David D. made a great point. They've always tried to control and disrupt and negate the power of mass communication between the poor. That was what the mixtape phenomenon was all about, and why they shut that down so effectively. There was, in the exact words of J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI, there was to be no mass communication medium circulating among certain politically conscious organizations. All right? June 3rd, 2009, send in your thoughts. I have in my book a chapter on policy. I have one chapter that deals with policy and pursuing your self-enlightened interest. This game of being in one political party, not lobbying, it's going to be the death of many of us economically. You got mayors, you have city council members, you have governor's office, state, federal. There's nothing wrong voting Democrat, voting Republican, voting Green Party, voting Libertarian, voting Conservative Party. But pursue your self-enlightened interest and make everybody respond to your agenda, or make them be a man or woman enough to tell you to your face they won't. And then have some power behind you to give them some negative consequences, some pain. But this whining, this we got to mobilize y'all and vote in one party, and it's played. It doesn't work. So now we got to chase down Costco and beg them to take food stamps. Are you kidding me? How many grocery stores, convenience stores, and supermarkets could be started in Harlem alone with the money that is going to be directed at Costco that wasn't going there before? Wackness.
Ending wackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Hour number four. Let's get it in. What hourly intro can I feed you all with? I have fun with that. Let me go with an all Caucasian one.
Atlanta, Georgia. Greensboro, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina. Chicago. Tampa, Florida. Miami. Dallas, Texas. I don't care where the city is. When you know
Cedric Muhammad
is in town, ooh, things are taking place.
Man, they're hot today, huh?
They are.
You see, life is greatness. And greatness is what you make out of, you understand? Ladies and gentlemen, one moment. Take a look at it. Learn to love it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be yours for a long, long time. Woo!
Hour number four, rappers buying cubic zirconium. Zirconia, we talked about it. Ooh, bling is over. Cubic zirconium. Keep it on the low, dog. Just make me a cubic zirconium piece. Bezel. White lies for dark times. Maybe it's a subliminal message. This is called Up to You Now. If you're a Ben Harper regular, let me know. I'm kind of new to Ben Harper. We have a mutual acquaintance I just found out about 2 weeks ago.
You can run away from home, but you can't.
up to you now, Ben Harper. I'm kind of feeling this. I listened to it this morning, and I wasn't feeling it as much as I am now. Ben Harper. I guess that Eminem makes anything sound good. Now, what I want to really know is he the real Lenny Kravitz, or is Lenny Kravitz the fake Ben Harper? How does this work? Again, comment at blackcoffeechannel.com is where you send something in today. A glitch in the matrix with the comment box. So if you've been typing stuff in and you have not been listening for 4 hours now, Ben, speak to him. Comment at blackcoffeechannel.com, C-O-M-M-E-N-T, at blackcoffeechannel.com. Send me your emails. I'll read them. They're thoughtful. Comment at blackcoffeechannel.com. I'm bumping Ben Harper right now. Tell him. Let me read this article from the Financial Times. It's Business 101. McDonald's lays the ground to mug Starbucks in Europe. This is May 27, 2009. McDonald's is aiming to overtake Starbucks as Europe's biggest coffee chain, with plans to open several hundred McCafe stores selling pastries and cappuccinos this year. While Starbucks, which has 1,300 stores in Europe, has been scaling back on its European expansion, McDonald's has ambitious growth plans for its branded cafes on the continent. Now, I went to one of the earliest trial McCafes, and it was in Raleigh, Durham, and I said, man, they're launching this thing at the worst time. McDonald's had spent years preparing to do this, but you know what? So many people go to McDonald's anyway. If McDonald's can provide atmosphere that I know is not possible in certain parts of DC, there will be no McCafes in a couple McDonald's that I know about. But in Europe, this might work. The fast food chain wants to expand its chain of McCafes, which operate within or next to regular McDonald's restaurants, to 1,200 in Europe by the end of the year. McDonald's has yet to open any McCafes in the UK, where about half of Starbucks' European stores are based. We can become the biggest seller of coffee in Europe, Jerome Tafani, chief financial officer for McDonald's Europe, said. He added that McCafes were attracting new customers by creating a cozy atmosphere. This is not going to work in some McDonald's in the hood. Ain't no cozy atmosphere. Cozy is not a word you think of with some of these McDonald's. You're lucky to get out of here alive. Ben Harper, speak to him. This album is called White Lies for Dark Times. That song was called Up to You. Up to You Now. I like that. Is Ben Harper the real Lenny Kravitz, or vice versa? How does this work? I'm new to this whole Ben Harper phenomenon. It's been going on since 94, from what I understand. This is called Shimmer and Shine. Man, it looks like McDonald's is about to just jack Starbucks in Europe. Damn, the chains emerged in Australia in the early 1990s and were introduced to Europe and Ireland in 2002. Nearly half of Germany's 1,200 McDonald's restaurants today have McCafes, while some 20% of restaurants in Russia and Italy have them. The chain is opening them in France and Austria. McDonald's has installed coffee machines from high-end manufacturers in his Met cafes in an effort to win over skeptics. It is selling different blends of coffee supplied by Kraft in each market to suit local taste. You know what? McDonald's may get this to work strictly off of market share. So many Starbucks have closed down that if there is a lo- if and you know McDonald's may, hold on, let me teach on this. This is in my book. This is in my book coming out in August. McDonald's made their money from real estate acquisitions. So you know they know how to pick a location. Some of these Starbucks that closed down have left a vacuum. I don't know if this will work in America. This will definitely work in Europe, though. The growth of the McCafé chain adds to a resurgence of fortunes at McDonald's, which has seen sales for its core hamburgers and fries rise on the back of demand from cash-poor consumers in the recession. McDonald's has launched an advertising campaign in the United States promoting coffees in its restaurants and drive-thrus. I likes it in Europe. Comment at blackcoffeechannel.com. Send me skinny on Ben Harper. I'll read a bio of him shortly.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.